project. And I don't, did you meet Marge Nowick when she was out here before?
I met the other team that was up here.
Yeah, that we're with the same company, and Marge wasn't able to come this time around, but we're now after that cultural resources survey was completed, we're just kind of back doing some follow-up stuff for the base closure that's going to happen in a couple years here. And
wanted to visit with Bob, but he wasn't here, so he said you'd have to do.
I've been here longer than Bob anyway.
What does he know, huh?
Nothing, but he thinks he knows a bunch.
So we're back after that cultural resources survey. I guess the headquarters office in Virginia or Washington D.C. somewhere around there.
Andrews.
Yeah, Andrews.
D.C. Yeah.
At Andrews. That's right. They, I guess, as part of the closure of the base, they're hoping to do some basically a big glossy. Coffee table book on the history of Colas Air Force Base or Air National Guard Base, and some people had mentioned that you had been here for a long time, sort of in an official capacity, and not in, I guess, in your younger years. As mm-hmm. Your dad was your dad the base commander mm-hmm. out here,
and chief of staff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And flight instructor, safety instructor.
Wow.
When did he work as well? Come?
66.
So 66, and then when did he finally retire?
88.
Wow, so he was out here for a number of years. And how long was he the base commander?
Well, he went from base commander to assistant AG before he retired.
He was never assistant AG.
He was
chief of staff. Oh. It's a federal position.
Oh, never mind.
Assistant AG is state.
Oh, so he wouldn't do that, huh?
No, he wouldn't go on the state side. That's political.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was probably about 6 years or so he's a base commander out here.
Uh-huh. And which years were those? Do you recall?
Like 81 to 86.
Is the picture wall still down at Ops? Down at in Building 37, there is on one of the walls, they got a picture of each commander and
kidding.
When they were commander.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go down and take a look at that. So he just missed the earthquake, huh? Mm-hmm. When he started. When you guys got here, was there still some aftermath of any of that going on, building projects or anything?
There was how he's been building projects, but there was a few things that hadn't been cleaned up yet, but for the most part, mm-hmm. been cleaned up.
Did the tower get rebuilt right away? I knew that the tower collapsed during the earthquake.
The tower?
The control tower.
Oh, at Anchorage International?
Yeah.
Yeah, they ran out of the old one for a while. It didn't collapse, I don't think. They had some structural damage, and they just patched it until they got a new one built.
Oh, someone was killed in one of them. That's what I read.
Hmm.
Maybe that's wrong.
I don't remember. Hmm. So, when did you start here?
78.
And what have you been doing since you started?
CE and structure shop.
Okay.
The whole time, so.
Okay. What were some of the biggest changes that since you've been here that you've noticed on base?
Well, when I first started working here, I pretty much knew everybody on base by first name because there was, 350 people in the guard up here or something.
Right.
Not that many, and now there's, 1,400?
Yeah.
Well,
even I knew everybody by their names when I first started here.
That and just, the number of buildings that have gone up.
When the 210th came on board, it just messed things up. It was a good little unit, though.
And they were the search and rescue?
Yeah. Now most people think they're the only unit out here.
Mm-hmm.
The 144th was the guys that started it all.
Right, Right.
Which was my unit.
Yeah, just the development on base is, mm-hmm. you know, at least half the buildings have been built since I've been here.
Right. And have there been any significant, has any of that been tied to significant mission changes, or is it just sort of the...
Well, with the additional aircraft, mm-hmm. yeah, I think we went from 8 130s up to 14 130s since I've been here, so okay. we've gotten the new hangars, and
yeah.
and we've gotten the helicopters, so they've modified Building 2 to accept helicopters. When I got here, that was supply and recruiting office.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we still have it or not, but we had a Bureau of Indian Affairs airplane, for BIA, not Bureau of Indian Affairs. I always get that messed up. We always had a BIA airplane, too, for a long time. We had an extra C-130. I don't know if we still do or not.
What was the other... What did the BIA plane do?
Same thing as the regular 144th trash haulers.
Hmm.
It just was an extra airplane.
Because he did a lot of the village flights.
Yeah.
But BIA, I think that has to do with something with the surplus airplanes of the Air Force somehow, and they like them out in the field flying as opposed to parked someplace resting.
Yeah. Well, at least that way they get maintained a little
yeah.
bit, in theory.
Yeah, just the additions on buildings. And when I first started coming out here, the main road into the base was down off the north corner of the base.
Okay.
You had to come in off Jewel Lake,
uh-huh.
down a long road, and they punched in over here. It's kept killing people on Dead Man's Curve. There's a 90-degree curve, and in the winter, people would
just careen right off that. Huh?
I wondered why they switched it.
Yeah.
So because of dangers, they actually had fatalities there from guardsmen.
I don't know if guardsmen, but there was quite a number of accidents.
Yeah.
Because
when I got here, this gate was still here, and I got here in 84, I think.
Because they had the vehicle gate there, but then they had a pedestrian gate at the end of Airguard Road.
Oh, okay. Right.
Which my dad walked to work, since he just lives down the road a little ways, and he'd come through there.
Oh, really?
Which,
interesting.
He made it nice. But
is your dad still around?
Yes.
Now? Would it be possible to maybe talk to him later on in the week if he's around, or?
I don't know if he's in town.
He
spends most of the summers down in the Kenai.
That's what I told you.
Yeah.
He's got a cabin down there, and he don't hardly ever come home.
Yeah, well, can't blame him.
You don't have to talk to nobody, but I think he takes a dog with him, right?
Occasionally.
Oh, okay.
Not that much anymore.
Still a very intelligent man. Last time I talked to him, hadn't lost a thing.
If you call him General, he corrects you by saying retired.
Not anymore.
I call him Sir, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah. I first got out here, the north ramp was the only ramp we had on base
at
that time. That west ramp wasn't even built when it got built before I started working here, but not when I first started coming out here.
Right.
Was buildings 21 and 22 even here when you got here?
They were built in 77, 78,
oh, okay.
So they just started that.
Because even when I first got here, this was all timber back here. We
mm-hmm.
used to come back here for our survival training.
Yeah. Well, this was a big storage lot, too.
Yeah.
That went. When I first started coming on base, before I joined, they had a row of Quonset huts down by POL and a sewage lagoon and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's changed a lot.
Were there buildings out here that were here that have been torn down since?
13.
And replaced with other things?
13,
or?
And the one that sat right here, which was the old ammo storage.
Oh, yeah, there was a little tiny ammo storage.
Yeah, it was
thing.
A three-bay concrete building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
what was building 13?
Originally, it was designed as a dorm, two-story dorm building
mm-hmm.
for Vietnam. But when they pulled out of Vietnam, it had never been erected. But they flew it back from Vietnam, and they installed it out here, and it was just 3 layers of plywood, fiberglass laminated.
Uh-huh.
There was no insulation to it at all. But
right.
So it was a dorm building out here for weekenders when they come in from remote areas or wherever they would stay
which
there.
Which is really great in Alaska to have.
And
then the 210th, when the 210th came out, they converted to an office for them, and then Calm was over there.
Pictures used to be took over there, too, the photographer at one time.
Where was it at?
Yeah, it was...
Right down at the end of the row where a parking lot is now.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where Building 7 is.
Okay.
Down there, just on this side of Building
7. Oh, okay.
I heard there was some shenanigans used to happen in there, too, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of shenanigans?
Cat housey.
So the good kind of shenanigans.
At least till your wife or husband found out.
Yeah,
yeah, really.
Funny.
Other than those, I can't think of too many things that have been really torn down.
See, the fire department has been built since you were here. The new building.
Oh.
Over.
Yeah.
Kind of over there, across the ramp, over there.
Yeah, and supply.
Oh yeah, all those.
This building and.
The new hangar over here. This place has been building even since I've been here. Just something fierce. Mm-hmm. This building.
And in terms of mission changes, have you been here for any of the big, more significant mission changes on base or?
Yeah, well.
Main changes more than mission changes.
Yeah, we picked up the rescue unit.
Well, not only that, we went from SAC, not SAC, but we went from like MAC to TAC to something else, didn't we?
When I started here, I was MAC.
Yeah.
Then we went to Alaska Air Command.
Okay.
Then back to MAC.
That's what I mean, yeah. Yeah. You've been through a bunch of that.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah, basically, we're still just a trash hauling unit of the 130s.
Were you still here when they had the 123s flying?
No.
Okay, just to quit that.
Yeah, I was here with the C-130...
The E-models just E-model. Got here, must have been.
No, they got here after.
So what was they flying when you first got here?
C-models?
No, we never had a C model.
No, it was the original.
We had E's and H's.
Okay, the E's.
When I first got here,
E's
they
were
flying
E's
E's and just getting the H's.
Yeah.
And what was the major difference between the E's and the H's?
Bigger motor.
Yeah, faster. Yeah. 10 knots or something?
Yeah, 10, 20 knots faster, haul a bigger load, use less fuel, whole bunch of things. Better airplane. They're brand new also.
Yeah. My dad got in trouble with that.
With brand new airplanes?
Yeah.
Why is that?
With 5.4.
What are you getting?
The first plane we
first
picked
one?
Up.
I heard of that. Yeah, what about it?
He went down to Lockheed.
Well, yeah.
They rolled it out of the construction hangar. He took it to a test flight.
Oh, he took it for the test flight.
He took it for the test flight.
Oh,
before the Air Force had accepted it.
Okay, that would be a problem. That would be a problem.
So he got in trouble for that, huh?
Yeah. Because he was flying a plane the Air Force didn't own yet.
Right.
I don't know if they're still there or not, but there was some paid for, owned by the Libyan airplanes, parked on wheel. I went and picked up 5-6, I think. And they were parked out there. There's 3 or 4 of them, paid for, brand new, bird nests all in them and over them, because the government wouldn't let them, the Libyans have them, and they'd already been paid for them.
I thought they went to Egypt.
Right there. Did they finally get someplace?
Yeah.
They were beautiful airplanes, but just deteriorating.
Well, just because they wouldn't let them.
Yeah, you couldn't. The Libyans wasn't allowed to have them, but they'd paid for them. So
we sold it to them. We just wouldn't let them take them.
Yeah.
So
all right.
There they sat.
Yeah, Gaddafi started causing
right
problems.
Yeah. Paid for them. They built them. He paid for them, and then he did something stupid, and they wouldn't let him deliver them.
Yeah. Well, he stayed in that category for a long time too.
Yeah.
Recently, I
don't. At least he quit doing stuff after President Reagan sent the fighters over and bombed his personal house.
Yeah, yeah. Some little reminder about who's in charge. This boat. What did you do out here as a kid? Would you just come on base with your dad and mess around? And
yeah, we just lived down the road a ways. And I knew a lot of the people out here.
Yeah.
And stuff, because we'd go fishing with them and stuff when I was growing up. And there was a lot of times my dad was the instructor pilot. But if they had night missions, they were supposed to have a safety officer. So he would come out and sit out here for a couple hours while the plane was out. So
yeah.
I'd come out or whatever.
Man, I wish I knew the number of this guy's cell phone, because I just saw him at Paul Smith's thing we had over here the other day. George Ellidge, one of the early people on the base, is in town. But I don't know how to get a hold of him. I wish I did. He was retired as a colonel, but he flew on the 123s.
Oh, interesting.
Here.
Yeah. Anybody like that that you guys can think of that was here?
All either dead or moved.
Any of the
I remember hearing a lot of stories about the 123 flights.
Yeah.
Flying muskox and
cruise like 160 or 80 miles an hour.
Do you guys still transport animals and stuff like that?
Very, very seldom.
But
I think the last ones was.
That's crazy if you heard about that.
What the last ones were.
I transported a dead animal once. It was a big stuffed bear that had been confiscated by Fish and Game in some state or other.
Yeah.
That was brought back up here.
It was on the muskox transplant. That was a mission he'll never forget, because they tranquilized him, put him on the plane.
That's what I was going to ask, how'd they do that?
But the tranquilizers ran out, and they ended up with six people on the flight bridge. 123. Well, there's only two seats up there, and there's no other bridge. So they had three people on a little navigator swing seat.
Oh, my God.
Because the muskox were ramming the sides of the plane.
I was going to say,
oh my gosh.
It must be hard to fly a plane with...
God, one of them got through.
The flight deck with the two seats is elevated, so...
Yeah, it's okay.
Pretty
high. Yeah, but they were causing damage to the inside of the plane. And
wow.
Yeah, I read about that, and I was like, that sounds crazy, and like transporting bears and other things, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done caribou.
How long was the flight?
I don't know where they were taking them.
Muskox flight.
They went from Nunavak to the North Slope, so they must have been a 7-8 hour flight.
Yeah, it'd be pretty long. They used to take them, 12 or 13 hours to fly from Seattle to here? And they usually have to stop and get gas someplace.
Yeah.
Why were they moving the muskox? Was it just to...
Originally, they had herds of muskox on the North Slope, but between white man and everything else, they wiped them out.
So it was like...
They're just reestablishing herds.
And I've seen the descendants of those things, because when we drove up there the last time, we saw just... gobs of those things, and when you'd stop, they'd get in a circle, heads out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool to see. But, they're not an ox. They're a goat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That, my dad flew the survey crews on the Aleutian Islands, where they did a survey of all the World War II runways.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of them where you could land, but you couldn't take off. So they had an equipment operator and an engineer out there. Their job was to make a usable runway so they'd take it back off.
Wow.
So my dad spent 3 or 4 days at a pop going around photographing walrus and things on the island.
Oh, no kidding. Huh. Wow, they made the airstrip usable?
Yeah.
So why... is it just because of the type of aircraft that you could land, but you just couldn't... there wasn't enough space to get...
When the military left those islands, they dug trenches across runways.
So they would be unusable.
If somebody wanted to invade again, they wouldn't be able to readily use those runways.
Right.
Wow.
And a C-123 can land in a lot shorter distance than it takes to take off.
Right.
They could get in there, but not out.
People really seem to love the 123s, just...
I don't know if my dad
knows as
much.
Well, he came from a 106, didn't he, to that?
Oh, 102.
102, okay, whatever. A fighter airplane to that thing, it's a big shock.
Yeah.
Oh, he loved flying trash haulers from a fighter. Well, a fighter, you go from one Air Force base to another.
Right.
You can take a little bag with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, with the trash haulers, you go on these missions, and you may go for a week, and you're not always landing an Air Force base, and yeah, it's more of an adventure than sitting there tied into a cockpit.
Yeah. In the old days, we weren't as tight either. I remember we were flying along, and the pilot turns around and says, does anyone really want to go? I forget what base we're supposed to go to, but we were flying over Pikes Peak area. And nobody really wanted to go there. We landed there. Nowadays, you'd probably get court-martialed for that.
Or flying the 123s over to like Japan, they'd have a guy that his responsibility was pump oil into the engines.
Jeez.
So they'd have a 3 or 4 55-gallon drums of engine oil. And
no kidding.
Every once in a while, you go back there and start pumping oil in.
Good Lord.
Because they went through oil.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Where was your dad at before he came up here?
Great Falls, Montana.
So you were born and raised here, and obviously...
No, I was born at Walker Air Force Base.
Oh, okay.
You have no idea where Walker Air Force Base is. Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh yeah? So you're the person.
That's one of those long, closed down...
Yeah, my dad was a test pilot down there.
Okay. Mm. I've seen references to it. I have a couple of books called, I don't know, it's basically a guide to old Air Force bases that have been closed.
He was just a little baby. They found him out in the desert after a mysterious crash.
Yeah, what year was that? I'm going to write that down.
From there, my dad went to Great Falls Air Guard Base as a 102 flight instructor. So. Mm-hmm. And from there, he went up here to fly 123s.
We've had several father-son pilot combinations where the father was dead because he died in our airplanes. Say, I'm thinking of Tom Norris specifically, whose dad was Major Norris, that was with the first General Carroll, whose son died in another airplane crash here, who was another General Carroll.
Wow.
All kinds of stuff like that going on.
Yeah. Air Guard bases in particular seem to have... They seem to retain a lot of the retired, you know, people that will stay there a long time and, you know, don't jump from base to base to base, and seem to have a lot of relatives. You know, if there's any place that has longevity, it seems to be a lot of the Air Guard bases will have.
I've had people that were here since, gosh, we had that one guy in vehicle maintenance that retired 5 or 6 years ago. No, before him, an old guy, but he didn't have much rank. He only had like 4 stripes. And this guy had been here since the base started.
Wow. Strand got in here...
Pretty early, too, yeah.
Yeah, pretty early, and then there's... Larry Connolly.
Nope, this wasn't him.
Jim Herrick.
No, this guy was one you probably won't even remember his name because he was no rank at all. But he's a full-timer. But he had been at this base since it started.
Wow.
I mean, that's a long time. We're talking like almost 40 years of his career.
Yeah.
Went to a Silver Flag down in Florida exercise with the Minnesota Guard. Mm-hmm. They had 9 people from the same family in their unit. Nelsons.
Wow.
The Wyoming unit had the same kind of a deal.
So that was funny, is that later that year, the Minnesota CE team won the National Combat Rifle Team, which is a 10-man team. 9 of them were Nelsons.
That's pretty funny.
So you were here when your father was general. How was that? Did people razz you a lot?
There were a few people that watched me very close.
Yeah. I would imagine you'd have to be extra good.
There were a couple people wanted to get dirt on my dad, so they would really be watching me. For the most part, it wasn't that. Then you have people trying to do favors, and became very inconvenient.
Yeah.
I got notified one day when I was working out here that I'd been accepted to pilot training, sitting there.
I never
put in for it.
Yeah. Did you ever apply for it?
But they had me dates to go to OCS and pilot training, and I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
And I asked my dad. He knew nothing about it.
Huh.
Well, somebody was trying to do a favor for my dad, and they just waited out enough college credits and did all the paperwork. And I'm sitting there, I don't want to go to Texas and Mississippi for 16 months or 18 months.
You probably won't be a pilot anyway.
Hmm.
No, if it had been navigator training, well, you'd have been a fool not to go.
So, what did your position entail, or what have your positions entailed while you were here? I guess it's mainly been CE, so...
CE, but I've been the contract manager on a lot of the construction out here. When the facility goes in, I'm involved with it.
Yeah. So you were fairly intimately involved, then, it sounds like, as this place grew, you had a pretty big hand in it, huh?
Yeah. And it, some of the building additions and new buildings going in, mm-hmm. that I get handed the drawings for all the reviews and things like that.
Yeah. One of our main focuses, I guess, while we're out here, is Building 3, the hangar. Has that, I know that at one time there were two separate, the smaller fighter hangar and then the larger one, and then they sort of got combined into...
The original part of the building is the aerial port now, and that was the fighter hangar.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was one of the few buildings out here when I first started coming out.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like those doors got changed, because now there's two separate overhead doors, which there had to have been just one large door, probably originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I first started coming out here, there is Building 9, the old fire department, Building 3, and Building 4. Pretty much the only buildings on base, other than Quonset Huts and the sewage lagoon. It hasn't been changed too much since I've got out here, as far as the main hangar and Building 3 and aerial port. There's been modifications done inside, but nothing really to the outside, other than standard maintenance and roofing.
Yeah.
And the parachute tower added to the aerial port.
Right. And has the, the airport has probably changed a lot more than this place has.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've seen that place grow up around.
Yeah. The terminal is considerably larger than when we first got up here, and then the North Terminal, that was in the 80s, I think they built that.
There's another building that has changed since I got here, at least, and that's Building 21, a building right over there. That? Right over
the dining facility.
The one with the tower right there.
It used
not
to be
SP's, that's 22. The other one, though. Used to be shorter, and they made it longer.
Because
where the nav office used to be, they gone. And so that building was expanded pretty much, almost doubled.
Yeah, it was early 80s.
Yeah.
So do they still do, I think when I was reading the Cultural Resource Report, do they still do the Operation Santa Claus or whatever? Yeah, that sounded like a pretty big focus for at least once they got that started. It just seemed to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, back in the 70s and 80s, it was, I won't say bigger, but they did a lot more stops. They had hit a dozen villages. Now they concentrate on like 3 or 4, the main villages,
right,
and try to get those other smaller villages to come to the main hubs to go through that. But it's quite involved. with, you know, weeks worth of prep work getting everything to fly out. And, and then usually all the VIPs that go out there with the whole thing.
So with the with the when did the rescue squadron, the 210th, show up?
86.
I think it might have been just a little bit later, not much.
No, so my dad retired in 88, but he was doing all the bed down, and we'd gotten the T-1003 and 1004 and all that, I think, in 86, 87.
Yeah, I'm thinking 87 or 8, somewhere around there. The reason being is because I know I flew for a few years here before we had to worry about having those guys around. And I didn't get here till 84.
Well, when they first got over here, they didn't have the helicopters yet.
No.
What did they have before the helicopters?
What, the rescue people?
Yeah.
That unit was new to us. They were over at Elmendorf before that, flying C-130s. But they come here, they got brand new airplanes, I believe.
Yeah, but they were over here a while before they got all their hardware.
Yeah.
Why did they move over?
The mission went from active duty Air Force to Air Guard, and... I think the Air Guard has three of the five rescue units now.
Well, between the Guard and the Reserves.
They may have almost all of them.
Yeah. Because
Portland has one, California has one.
Yeah,
they're both
California's
Guard. New York is Guard.
There is another one in California that's Reserves, I thought. Or, I don't know. I believe there's Riverside, California, I think, is Reserves.
Could be.
And that one. That's not something I think about very often.
Yeah. It's just one of the missions the Guard took over. It's like some of the 611th Air Control Squadron, the Guard has taken that over.
Yeah. It's not on Coolis, but it's, it's, they do the missile stuff, don't they? Warning, the radar sets and stuff.
They do all that. Intercept and
stuff
control.
Yeah. Get some pretty skookum radar equipment, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Well, is there what's your most memorable experience since you've been out here, either as a kid or as an active member?
Well, out here or in the Guard?
Out here at Cullis.
Oh, Oriental Express Week.
What was that?
Yeah, what was that?
It started off with was it JL that landed their plane in the back of a pickup on the runway?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And then that was Korean Air. Because JL... ran over the Navajo aircraft.
It had Chad Stevens' wife in it, right?
No.
Well, that's a different crash.
Different.
Never mind.
And the JL was a day after the Korean Air landed in they had a pickup truck on the runway doing skid tests for ice. And somebody gave clearance for a cargo heavy to come in, and they put their nose gear right in the bed of the pickup and spread the guy over the runway.
Yeah.
Next day it was JL... They tried to take off on a taxiway and ran over a small commuter plane. It went off the runway and continued to burn, and I was on that fire for 24 hours.
Wow.
And then 2 days later, China Air came in, and they called in that something's wrong with the center runway lights.
Oh, no.
We don't have center runway lights. They took out the runway lights all the way down one side. So they call it Oriental Express Week. Yeah, it was right between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow. And what year was
it? No, it was right before Christmas.
I remember when all that happened.
Because JL was carrying imitation cabbage patch dolls and the Napper wristwatches, and they were spread all over the place.
And what is JL? What is that?
Japan Airlines.
Japan Air, okay.
Wasn't it foggy or something that week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was out here. It was right after duty hours, but I was out at Kincaid skiing.
Oh, okay.
And I stopped in to fill out some paperwork, and all the sirens went off, and it was the ice fog.
And
we were standing high enough, we were above it, and you could see big pillars of smoke, but you couldn't see the plane.
Wow.
And so we were sitting there, we got the crash trucks out, and then I got called because the plane ended up 300 yards off the end of the runway in 3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Well, the fire trucks couldn't get there, so one of our trucks got up to like 75 miles an hour, went off the end of the runway to get down to the plane, and he took a stump up through his hydraulics.
Oh, no.
But he got close enough to the plane where they could feed hoses to him,
right,
and he could fight the fire.
Right.
I got called to get a wrecker and repair stuff to go down there and fix the fire truck.
Right.
So I'm sitting there laying underneath the fire truck and about 6 inches of JP4 fuel trying to repair the hydraulics. It was an interesting week.
Sounds memorable.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would have been most interesting.
Yeah, JP4 does not come out of ski gear.
No. Probably doesn't come out of a lot.
No, it saturates clothes no matter how much you wash it.
Yeah.
You can smell
it.
It
just won't come out.
Yep. So you have to buy all new ski gear after that experience, huh?
Yeah.
Or if you don't mind the smell of JP.
JPL probably wasn't even nice enough to get you new stuff.
Actually, the warm-ups and suit I was wearing were national teams. I was on a national biathlon team. I was wearing their gear.
Oh.
And they're not happy.
Yeah, right.
I show up at a race and I smell like fuel.
Yeah. And how'd you get involved with them? Is that...
The biathlon team?
Yeah.
I started working out here, and then I read an article about how Alaska took last in the GARD championships for biathlon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on scholarship cross-country skiing for the university at the time, and I go, I can do better than that.
Yeah.
So I went down, and I ended up taking second overall in the military, and from there I went national champions and took fifth overall in the nationals.
Wow. Cool.
Started competing.
Yeah. So did you wrangle other people from around here to be a part of that as well? Or?
On the guard side, yes.
Yeah.
Or one of our old officers here, Vic Winters, Colonel Winters, I got him involved with it, and Colonel Mamerall, I'd gotten him involved. Now Major Soto's involved, and I get hassled about making CE the Alaska team.
Yeah.
We've had security police on the team that we've gotten involved.
Wow.
The Alaska team's done fairly well down there.
Yeah, good. Well, if you need to go, that's okay. We won't keep you.
No. You're just going to keep calling, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, Robin?
Probably. It comes up just 176.
Oh. She's going to come down and chew you out in a minute.
Start looking for you, huh? And and your wife works here as well?
That's Robin, right around the corner down there.
Okay. Corner upstairs.
Okay.
She's dealing with the other gal that's up here with taking
she
all of her records.
Day, but the other one did.
Oh, yeah.
A long day. She got here about just a little bit before you guys did,
yeah,
and she left already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she must have left just for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the day.
So last week I signed for those two packages of boxes that she plans on shipping back.
Yeah. Well, is there anyone else that you can think of that may have, I don't know, been here for, you know, during some of the early years as well, that might still be around? I know it sounded like most of them are moved away or died or
going fishing for the summer.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some really old guys that's been around.
Yeah, I don't know if Strand's around anymore. Or
I don't know either. And there's some others. might be able to be got a hold of, but they may not be sober.
How long has Bucklew been out here?
His dad started this joint, one of them.
Well, Bucklew now works for the rescue as
that's
civilian
what I mean.
Contract.
He'd probably be easy to get a hold of. John Bucklew, is it John?
Seaborn Bucklew, yeah. Jr.
His dad
Bucklew?
Bucklew.
Oh.
Yeah, his dad was a General Bucklew, a JAG, and he was one of the founders of this base.
Oh.
And I don't know his dad. Did he die?
I have no idea. He was the...
He was a judge in town, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, his brother or his dad died, but I thought it was his brother.
His dad was a judge in Anchorage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my dad was on jury duty, and you know, they ask a question, do you know anybody? The judge just says, yeah, you're dismissed. Because at the time, he worked for my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's pretty funny.
If you don't dismiss me, I'm going to make it hard on you.
Yeah, I know Bucklew's around somewhere.
I could probably get him off the internet here.
Yeah, he works over at Julie Garmery, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
If you're familiar with Julie Garmery, Pararescue.
Okay.
All the PJs work out of the Julie Garmery.
Mm. Okay.
I was going to ask, your dad was around during, like, when you guys started supplying the dew line and stuff, right? Did he... He wasn't a general then, though, right? But he was still...
He was a pilot, an instructor pilot, back, because they were supplying dew lines with the 123s.
Yeah.
Would you guys want to visit with him tomorrow if I get a hold of him?
Sure.
Sure,
if we get a hold of him, we'd...
Are you going to be in all day tomorrow?
We'll be here all week, so... I think I'm leaving. In fact, I'll be here on Saturday as well. I was going to go do a little sightseeing, but
doing history.
Hey, yeah, I was trying to get hold of Buck.
Yeah, we're basically doing kind of a historical overview.
This is Gerald Weaver.
We were here. Well, Marge was here. The other team was here. You know, a couple years ago, gathering information, and now for the closure, they want to do this. History, sort of this history book as part of the closure to provide to libraries and just the public in general. And so we're here sort of gathering what we can for that book.
Hello.
There's an interesting tattoo you got on your arm.
There's a team doing the history of Coolis.
Like
And they were wondering if they could talk to you. They're doing the history of Coolis for Guard Bureau. And they were wondering if they could talk with you sometime this week. In CE.
Yeah.